You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So good to see everybody this morning. Jesus is. How's everybody doing? You good? Mike, how you feeling? All right. Praise God. Amen. Now listen, I preached at the park this morning down in Lynn Park to all of the bridge-dwelling homeless folk. So what I'm saying is, I'm preaching the same thing to y'all. And if you don't do any better than them, I'll see you next week down in Lynn Park. You may as well just show up down there, because you're going to be broke and not have a house. You're going to be lost if you don't get this. Amen? Amen. Now those folk can get it. I know you can get it. Say, I can get it. Say, I'm an open vessel. Say, I want something deep. Now, I'm going to tell you, most people that want deep, what you want is something you can't understand, so you don't have to do it.
Come on now. That's good.
Oh, you ain't got amen me. I know I'm right. When people tell me, I got to go someplace, I can get something deep. I know right now what you want is something you don't understand, so you won't be obligated to it. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you what deep is, do the will of God. I tell you what deep is, understand the love of God. Amen? And we're dealing with a name. I'd like to take time and just tell everybody howdy, but we don't have that kind of time today. Good to see everybody here this morning. Wendy, good to have you home today. Of course, we're both home today, just by accident, I guess. But I'm glad to see all you new folk. There's folk here I hadn't seen before. So if I say something really stupid, you just kind of know that like father, like son. So he's probably said something. I'm just saying, Gabriel probably already said something stupid, so I just kind of backed that one up. But it is good to see everybody. Paul, good to see you today. Glad you brought Vicky with you. That's good. Let me get my hanky out. Let me see how we do this. Kashane works that hanky. Huh? What's up with that? Did y'all notice that? I'm watching this hanky. I'm thinking, dude, he's in a gang? I don't know. My wife says, put the thing up. Sue, stand up and say howdy to everybody. This is my wife. Hallelujah. She's not my better part. She is my gift. And I mean, really, she's my gift. Some people say that's my better part. She's not my better part. She's my gift. She's something God gave me. Let me see. Who else is here? There's someone here I need to be making sure I don't get picked on by somebody. I'm trying to get everybody and get y'all hit early on. So y'all won't be jumping. What, Doobie, you want me to say something about you? I'm going to say something about you in a message. Amen. Amen's right. Hey, listen, open your Bibles. We want to deal with Jesus is, and y'all been having some great preaching on that. And I appreciate these guys and the staff you have, Pastor Gabriel, and what he's put together. I happen to be, for those of you all that don't know, apostolically, I'm not over this church, but apostolically, I stand in a position of leadership over this church as well as the church in Auburn and the one down in Mobile. And that doesn't mean I own them or direct them, because they've got great leadership, but I do stand apostolically with them for just the guidance and the help. And I appreciate having these men of God. As a matter of fact, I don't know what you guys are thinking, but I'm looking ahead. Matter of fact, Larry told me, Larry, where are you? He said he's retiring May the 2nd. I'm excited about that. Yeah. So he's retiring May the 2nd. I'm mad because I'm not retired yet. But I'm just thinking that we've just got to have people that are raised up in the anointing of God to preach the gospel and bring a church like this forward. Amen. And the same in Auburn. And I'm looking for a place that I can shift gears and let these younger guys take all of the lead, and I can just drift around here and preach when they let me. I have more time to be here. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, if you don't mind. We're going to hit several verses real quick, so you're going to have to bear with me. It will be up here behind me. For those of you all that are not Bible carriers, you're too slow to find it, like I have usually been, but I'm liking this where you can read it and I don't have to worry about you. I just know you're going to be with me. Listen, the name of Jesus is important to us. As a matter of fact, if you read the Old Testament, like in Isaiah chapter 9, it begins to deal with that He is mighty God, He is Counselor, right? And the Bible goes through, He's the Prince of Peace. And then John sees Him and says, it's the Lamb of God. And when you hear a name given to God, it not is just a name, but it identifies a character. How many of y'all know that God gave Adam the ability and the privilege of naming all the animals? Okay, that's two of you. Great. All right. So anyway, for those that don't know, I just let you know, he did. And I'm thinking, I'm going to tell you something right now. God is a risk taker. As a matter of fact, before I get done today, I will say something that'll hurt some of y'all's feelings, because I don't think God is insane as you know insane, but I think God does insane things. Watch, you look at me like you mad because I said God was insane. Let me give you some insanity. He loves you. Huh? Listen, if I don't say anything else today and left you with that, that's deeper than you can understand. Paul said, I pray the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the depth and the height and the width. What is the depth and what is the height and the width and the length and the breadth of the power of God that is demonstrated in the love of Christ. I'm going to tell you right now, everything that's deep that you need is to understand how much God loves you. And in the name, when Adam was naming animals, as he gave them a name, it also gave them a personality. Are you kidding me? Can I help you on that? Then the name identifies the characteristics of something. Say, Son of God.
Son of God.
That's what you are. If you're a child of God, you're a son of God. Amen? That ought to identify something that you are. But I want to deal with Jesus being love. You heard that on the sermon bumper, that Jesus is love. Say, Jesus is love.
Jesus is love.
Yeah. How many of you know that God is love?
Amen.
Right? So we're going to look at this real quick. I just want to identify who he is, and then I want to talk about love. I'm going to tell you right now, what I'm about to give you is revelation knowledge. Listen to me. It's revelation knowledge. It's something that you're not going to get it because you hear it today and leave and say, oh, I got it. God loves me. Trust me right now, you don't know God loves you like God loves you. Back up and say it another way. You won't know how much he loves you, baby, till you get to heaven. Now, how many of y'all realize in the Bible it says when you get there, you're going to cast your crowns before him, right? We take off our crowns that we got for whatever it was we did on the earth, and we cast them for him. You know how arrogant we are. We think we earned those crowns because of what we did. So when we get there, we're taking our value and we're going to place it before God humbly. Well, that's the most arrogant thing to think of. Right? That you earned something that you're going to give to him and impress him. Let me say something to you. God will never be impressed by you. You don't have to amen me, man. I know I'm right. That's like you golfing with Tiger Woods and think he's going to be impressed because you hit it in the fairway. Your ball going to be sitting in the fairway waving at his as it goes another 150 yards past you. It's like some of us thinking that Kobe Bryant would be impressed with us on the basketball court. Now, can I tell you something? You ain't going to impress Kobe Bryant, not anybody in this room. Can someone say amen?
Amen.
Then what makes us think we're going to do something that's going to impress God? Can I tell you something? The only person that's ever impressed God is his son, Jesus. And the Bible says that if I'm going to have any kind of impression, I've got to be hidden in Christ in God. And if I'm in Christ in God, then when Jesus impresses God, I get a part of that because I'm in him. It's never been because the devil came out when I said come out. It's never been because a blinded eye opened because I said open. It's never been because someone got up out of the dead when I said rise and be alive. Those things may have happened, but God is never impressed with me because it's Jesus doing it.
Right.
When you get to heaven and cast your crowns, it won't be because you did something. Huh? You're going to cast your crowns because you are undone when you get there and see what a person you've been and what an attitude you've had, and he still loves you enough to put you in front of him in heaven. I'll tell you something, you'll strip down because you'll be undone, and it won't be because you did good stuff and you want to humbly offer God something. It'll be because you see a love for you that nobody should have had, that you were unworthy and you're undone, but somebody loved you. You'll give him everything because of that. Amen. The first song you sang was about the love of God. I'm going to tell you something else. Y'all just hear me real close on this one. You don't know how to love until you are loved.
Amen.
And you can tell me, I love God. Do you really love God? You really don't. Excuse me. Yes, Pastor, I really love God. Process what you just said. You don't love God. You don't love God until you know how much you're loved by God. Because your love is based on His love, not based on your love. Back up. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? That you love God? What is the gospel? What is the gospel? That you love God? What is the gospel? God loves us. Say, God loves me. See, that's the gospel. Say, God loves me. Say, I'm His favorite. Say, in this room, I'm a saint, child of God, and He loves me. See, right now you feel a little bit arrogant. Shirley was saying it, and she kind of whispered it because she's afraid. Well, she was afraid that Sarah was going to get mad at her if she said, on this row, God loves me. But can I tell y'all something? You need to be able to say, when you look down that row, not because I'm judging who else is on my row, but I'm judging who I am in Christ, that I ought to be able to say, Tomas, good to see you, bud. I ought to be able to say, God loves me. On this row, God loves me. In this room, God loves me. In this room, I'm His favorite. Right now, you're halting. You're not going with me because you're saying, well, I can't say that because so-and-so's got more stuff than I do. Look at me. Let me tell you something. This ain't about everybody else. This is about who you are in Christ. Forget the rest of us. If you're going to get to God in His anointing and His power, you've got to get to a place where He loves you. Okay. On the street, they got it. Back up and said another way. Y'all still tracking me? How many remember John the apostle and also the disciple? Remember John? He wrote a whole book. So John, in his book that he wrote, five times he said that I am the disciple that God loves. Huh? Oh yeah, he said it five times. He said, I'm the disciple. He didn't say, I'm one of the 12. I'm one of the guys. He said, I'm the one He loves. Excuse me just a minute. Was he being arrogant? No, baby. He wasn't concerned about the other 11. He was talking about who John is. I am loved by God. I'm the one that He loves. How many of y'all remember when John in chapter 20, John and Peter running to the tomb? Now, the Bible says that John in the sprint beat him there, but Peter got in first. And you know what John said? He said, Peter got in before me, but I am the one that God loves. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. Yeah, Peter beat me in, but I'm the one, Sandy, I'm the one He loves. Now, he wasn't saying He didn't love Peter. Peter can say what he wants to. He was saying where he was. This is not about Peter. This is about me. He beat me good. He beat me, but I'm the one He loves. Now, let me ask you a question. Had you rather get an accolade because you won a foot race or because God loves you? Huh? Had you rather have an accolade because you made more money or that God loves you? Had you rather have an accolade because you got your leg grown out or God loves you? Oh, come on now. You better get a hold of this. That if you don't understand how loved you are by God, you'll never know how to love God. Okay, let's go. You got a scripture somewhere. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through. Y'all still tracking me? Okay, very quickly. He who does not, this is verse number 8, chapter 4, 1 John. He who does not love does not know God. Huh? For God is what?
Love.
If you don't love, you don't know God. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us. In what? That God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love. In what? In Jesus coming is love. Not, look at here, not that we love God. It's not that you love God. Yeah, but I love God. It's not about you loving Him. It's about Him loving you. If you don't know He loves you, it don't matter what you say that you do, because then you take the credit. I love Him. Baby, I'm going to tell you right now, you need to back up and start saying, God loves me. When someone says, you're born again, you ought to say, yes, I'm His favorite. See, you can't say it. Because right now, y'all struggling with that. Because you think that's arrogant. It's because you don't know the love of God. If you knew the love of God, you wouldn't worry about Mike Wright or anybody else. You'd say, I am the accepted. I am the loved. He extravagantly loves me. I am the object of His affection. God doesn't love you like your mama and daddy. He said their love for you, Luke 11, looks like evil compared to my love for you. So quit comparing God's love for you with how you love your kids, how your kids reciprocate love to you. Can I tell you something else about God? He is insane when it comes to love. Okay, see, you don't believe that. I'm going to say it. He is crazy insane when it comes to love. Y'all don't want him that way. No, you don't, because you're going to say, I'm going to tell you what, God going to judge Hollywood. God going to judge Las Vegas. Let me help you on here, Judge. If you send him to Las Vegas and Hollywood, he's coming to your cul-de-sac next. Huh? And he'll find out who on that road was a smart aleck. I'm just saying, we have dissed God when it comes to love. And we're afraid of that love. We don't like that love. But you need to write this one down. And I've just skipped a whole lot on our verses. But if they need to get it, they can go to Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 through 8. Because the Word of God said this is how God demonstrated His love for us. That while we were, come on now, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The demonstration of love is not when you said I do. It's not when you accepted Him. This is the insane thing about God. In 2 Timothy 2:19, the Word of God says, and God knowing who would accept Him, He still pursues. Oh, see, you don't think that's insane? Let me help you with that. You chasing some girl? Are you chasing some boy? And they turn their back on you and say no? You are the ugliest thing I've ever seen. I don't like you. Leave me alone. Now let me help you. You'll leave them alone. You'll turn your affection somewhere else. This is where insanity comes in. God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the
world
that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed on Him would not perish but have eternal life. And God, verse 17, sent not His Son into the
world
to condemn the but the through Him might be saved. Four times in two verses He uses the word world. The word world means a sinful culture. Can I help you right now? He didn't save you because you were pretty. He didn't save you because you come to church. He didn't save you because you prayed right. He didn't save you because you read the Bible right. He saved you because you were unlovely and a sinful individual, and He pursues people knowing they won't accept Him. It is insane for someone to give their son knowing they won't accept Him. Huh? How many of y'all know that people are not going to be saved?
Yeah.
Okay, that's two nods. Thanks. How many of y'all, that's this side. Let me try this side. How many of y'all know that there will be people going to hell that will not get saved? How many of you know some of them are your family members? How many of you know it doesn't matter who's preaching to them, they will reject it and not be saved? Here's the insane thing. God loves them like He loves you. Here's the insanity of the love of God. The love of God is wanting to dance with the one that's not dancing. Wanting to hug the person that's not responding. Wanting to speak to the person that's not listening. Wanting to pursue the person that's running from Him. Oh, come on now. There's people in here, you're not dancing with God, but He's wanting to dance with you. You're not listening to Him, but He's talking to you. You're not following Him, but He's pursuing you. I think it is the insanity that Jesus is love, that God sent His Son into the world for a sinful world, and He did it when we were not sinners. And here's the thing, He knew from the foundation the people that would reject Him, and yet He said, I love them, I will die for them, I will pursue them until they breathe their last breath. I won't give up on them, and My Spirit will chase them down. Hallelujah! So quit trying to put people in hell. Give God an opportunity to be God, because He loves them whether you do or not. You mad because they killed somebody, they slapped somebody, they took your money, they divorced you. I don't know where you are in your issue, but let me help you right now. God loves them. And if you don't get that, you won't get the love of God. And if you don't know His love, then you can't say you love Him. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Y'all ain't real mad yet? Okay, let's go there then. Go to John 11. Go to John 11, because some of y'all are still not buying this. You're looking at me, you're like, well, what about my anointing? What about your anointing? You're not impressing God. He's heard everything you're going to say. Huh? He's done everything you're going to do. What about my power to heal people? What about your power to heal people? It ain't you. Amen? What you need to do is give this thing a rest and get loved by God so you can operate in the love of God. So what you got will be effective instead of just there. There are a lot of people doing stuff and it's just there, but it affects no one because there's no anointing behind it, because there's no love. There's just procedure and operation and understanding, but there's not the love of God. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but if I tell my kids something, well, anymore it doesn't matter. I tell them they don't listen, they never did much. But when I tell my child to do something, I wanted them to do it. I did not want them to do it because they held a belt over their head. Although I wanted them to do it. I wanted them to do it because they loved me and knew I loved them. Now, both of them would get the answer, one with the belt or one with the love. But which one does the daddy like best? The one that did it because I love my daddy. Because I want to respect him and he loves me. Then that's the one. So there are a lot of people in church that are doing the right thing. But they're doing it for the wrong reason. Amen. John 11:2, Mary and Martha have a problem. Lazarus is dead. He died. Jesus could have gotten there, could have helped him out. But look in John 11, if you don't mind. I think it's verse number 2. Let's have a quick look there in John 11, 2. That's chapter 12. I know that's not it. Look in verse number 3 then. It says that Mary is the one that anointed Jesus' feet. Let me just back up and say this. You need to understand that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were best friends of Jesus. Look at me, let me say something. They were better friends of Jesus than John. Y'all still tracking me? They were his best friends. He was with them the last week of his life. You see him at times with the disciples. He was staying at their place. As a matter of fact, according to Scripture, the only family closer to him was his mama and them was closer to him. Outside of that, it was Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They were his bestest buddies, BFF. They were his friends. He hung with them. He ate with them. Y'all still tracking me? Look in verse number 3. You got to like this. Here's what the Bible says. And therefore the sisters sent to him. So they write a prayer on a note. See, that's beyond some of us right there. They write a note and they have a prayer. And the prayer is in your Bible. And it's not a long prayer. You don't have to pray long to get healing or get a resurrection. Check me out on this one. Here's the prayer that they had written down. Lord, behold the one whom you do what?
Love.
Behold the one whom you love is sick. What? A prayer request. Okay, you're not impressed. What if we understood the gospel was God's love for us, not our love for him? All right, y'all still tracking me there? So what if I started praying like he loved me? Okay. Check your songs out. If I had my hanky, I'd wave it. Check your songs out. Check your prayers out. Check your confession out. Most of our praying does not come from his love for us. It comes from our love for him. Lord, you know how much I love you. You know my wife's been serving her. You all her life. She needs a healing. No, you know, needs a deliverance. No, she doesn't remember. The prayer is generally what we've done. How much we love you and how much we've given for you. And Lord, I'm in debt and I got a financial problem, but hallelujah, I'm a tither and therefore I work on that tithe issue. What if we backed up and decided the gospel was the truth, that it's not about me, but it's about him? Then maybe my prayer wouldn't be about me, it'd be about him. Maybe I would come and say, the one who you exceedingly love, the one that is the object of your affection, the one that you love is in debt right now. Excuse me just a minute. Something just changed in the supernatural realm. I went from the flesh trying to manipulate the spirit to the spirit speaking to spirit and the obligation of a living God to that covenant. When I say this is not about me, this is about you loving me. It's about the one you love, and I've got a sickness and a cancer in my body, but I'm the one you love and I'm your favorite and I've come today for a healing. I don't know about you, but something changes in that prayer. Woo! I don't know how you feel about that. But what if you took that lost child to God like that? What if you took your mom and daddy like that because they're not serving God? Well, you know they're on drugs. Well, you know they're in church and out of church. Well, you know they're here, but they're still hooked up on drugs. You know they're still in alcohol. You know they're still in pornography. You know they're here. What if we took them the way God does without all of the baggage that we're trying to correct and say, hey, I'm bringing Sue to you today. She's the one you love. Yeah, but she's a rebel. She's the one you love. She's the one that is the object to your affection. She's the one you loved enough to die for. What if we brought them like that? Instead of saying, I'm bringing their sorry soul up to you one more time. They in and they out and they lie and they pray and they come. They get saved every week. They sign that blue card every week. What if we came with the gospel that God loves them? The key is God loves them. These girls petitioned God on the basis of His love, not their love. Look at verse 5, and I'm going to close. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But look at 5 anyway. How many of y'all believe I'm really going to close? No? My wife, thank you. My wife said, you better close. What?
It takes three
closings. Okay, thanks, Wendy. Good deal. All right, that's one. Okay, you don't have to put shoes on yet. We're all right. Look at verse number 5. Y'all still tracking me? Are all the new folk okay? I've not run y'all off yet. All right. Listen, I'm going to tell you what. This works better. This works better for someone who's only been saved 2 weeks. Because the rest of y'all are too crusty. Huh? You got too much religion on you. You only had to hang around it 2 or 3 weeks and it's on you. You don't have to amen me. I know I'm right. But you give me someone that doesn't have all that religion on them yet. And they hear that God loves them. They'll change their prayer today. But there'll be some of us others. We going to have to think about this one. Because we're going to go to prayer because we know how to pray. Oh, God, I humbly bow before you and I, you know, oh, Jesus. But you get you somebody else that hadn't got all that religion, they're going to walk, listen to what your Bible says, they'll walk boldly, excuse me, they'll walk boldly to the throne of grace. Not arrogantly, boldly. Not, oh, come on now. A 3-year-old is not arrogant. He's bold because he knows he can go to his daddy. He knows he can run to his mama. And it doesn't matter who's around. He runs and grabs them. When I saw my grandson the other day, and he saw me, and his grandmother was holding him, his darling was holding him, and she said he saw his honey, that's me. And when he saw me, his face lit up, and he ran to me, and so did my other grandsons. I got 2 grandsons running, and then my little granddaughter, and they come running to me. Can I tell you something? That was boldness. You're going to say, yeah, but no, that's because they just wanted to see you. That was boldness, because nothing hindered them. They knew they were loved. It didn't matter who else was in that room. Can I tell you about praying? There'll be people that'll take this message today, and you'll walk boldly up to God and say, I am your favorite. I am the object of your affection. I know that you love me. And I've got an issue here. Can I tell you something? You're more apt to get the ear of God on that than you are telling him how lowly you are. Because he knows you ain't. Excuse me just a minute. Don't look at me mean. You be telling God how humble you are. Do you know what arrogance is? Hey, are y'all still tracking me? When you tell God how humble you are, do you know what pride is? It's you knowing how humble you are. Do what you got to with it. Look at verse number 5. I know. Second closing. I got one more. Now Jesus, excuse me, help me. Jesus did what? Who did he love? Who? He did what? He loved who? Are y'all saying the gospel yet, or is it just me? Can you see how deep this is? The more you check on the love of God, the more you're going to see it. Amen? I'm going to tell y'all, whether you know where you are right now, some of y'all in muddy waters, you knee deep, and you're paddling around trying to figure out the heresy of God loving you. Let me tell you heresy. Heresy is to believe in salvation took you. You don't have anything to do with salvation. See, right now, y'all won't nod yes because you're, well, yes, I do. I confess Jesus is the Lord. You don't have anything to do with salvation. Salvation's all about God. Amen. As soon as you can start saving yourself, you be God. That's right. Say salvation's one-sided. Salvation. See, you don't believe that. You think it's reciprocal. You think there's reciprocity in there that God does something. You've got to do something. Can I tell you right now? It's all about God. When I say yes to God, it was all about Him because He knew I was going to say yes. There you go. All right, back up and say it another way. When you take credit for your salvation, that's more heretical than it is to say that God saved you and didn't need you. And you'll keep proving why He had to have you to be saved. Can I tell you something? He didn't have to have us. He died for us already. You need to read your Bible in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says to Timothy, he said, pray for all. That everybody, that all be saved, that all come in. And he mentions all about 4 or 5 times in 3 or 4 verses because he wants everybody in. He's praying for all. It's not about me, it's about him. I'm born again because of him. Look at me. I'm born again because of him. We get born again because of a formula. I had to say certain things. If you would forget that for 30 seconds and say, I'm loved by God. I am loved by God. I am loved by Him. I am loved. I've been a rebel. I've been running. He's pursuing me. I am loved by God. And you recognize that love. Salvation enters on the recognition of the gospel's plan. And the gospel plan is not get you out of hell and get you into heaven. The gospel is God loves you. See, too deep for you. So you back up into muddy waters where you'll have 3 or 4 things to tell God. And the angel says, I'm measuring off some more, going out a little bit deeper. And I weighed out a little bit deeper. And I'm going to tell you, as I begin to study this, I got over my head. And I'm swimming in the love of God. Amen? I'm swimming to keep my head above water. Because I don't feel His favorite, but I am. I don't feel He loves me, but I'm His loved. And He told them, the Bible, it's in your Bible, He says, and He loved them. Can I tell you there's 2 words used here. In verse number 3, it's phileo. You look it up when you get home. It's phileo. It means BFF. It means relationship. It means homeboy. It means one of my guys. It means my friend. It just means we have relationship. You know you have a relationship with Him, Lord. Jesus speaks back and said, it's not just about relationship. It's about agape. Jesus agape'd them. What's agape? That's divine love. That's the love that doesn't have to have a response. That's the love that is reaching out. That's the love that is hugging you and you not hugging back, that's pursuing you when you're running the other way, that's trying to dance when you're standing still. It's the one speaking when you're not listening. That's divine love that just won't quit. And Jesus said, I'm coming, but I'm not coming because He's my buddy. He's my BFF. I'm coming because I am love and I love Him. I'm pursuing this issue and death can't keep something I love. Okay. Can I close 3rd time? This is it. You're done. We don't have it for the board. write it down somewhere. Hosea 3. Just need to read the whole chapter. It's not long. 3 or 4 verses. 5, 6, 8 verses. Whatever it is. You need to read 11. Hosea 11. Maybe verses 8 through 11. Something like that. And here's why you need to read that. How many of y'all remember Hosea in the Bible? Right after Daniel. How many of y'all know Hosea? Okay. How many of y'all do know Hosea? Raise your hand. This is a hand raising like in classroom. How many of y'all know Hosea? Not like personally, but like you know the book. Okay. I mean, I'm thinking Doobie was probably there, but I don't know. But just saying. But we know Hosea. How many of you know the name Hosea means Savior? Oh, come on now. That book isn't about by accident. Hosea means Savior. How many of you know that he was supposed to marry somebody? Who was he supposed to marry? Gomer. What was Gomer?
Prostitute.
Why did he have to marry a prostitute? He's the Savior. Why did he marry a prostitute? Can I tell you something else? Hosea means Savior. Gomer means complete. There is complete salvation shown in that book. There's a completion of the love of God. There's a completion of a God that's reaching out. And God said, I'm going to show you my plan. And here's the plan. You're going to marry a prostitute. Married her and had 3 kids. After the 3 kids, she leaves him, goes back into prostitution. God sees it and speaks and says, you're going to go and you're going to buy her back. Buy her back. Now, wait a minute. She already belonged. Price was already paid. They made a covenant. Why would he buy her back? Because she's now pimped out again. He goes to find her, according to Scripture, and pays 15 pieces of silver and some other stuff. He had to buy her back with some food stuff as well as gold or silver. And he buys her back. When he gets her back, see, right now that's insane to me. He should have been able to go and say, that's my wife. Come here, woman, we're going home. And that pimp should have said, all right, she's yours. But can I tell you something? That is not unlike where people are sitting right now. That God's already paid a price for you, baby. He's already bought you. He's already set the covenant. He said, I'll keep the covenant. If I make a covenant with you, you'll break it. I'll make it in my son. So the covenant of salvation is still not about us. It's about Jesus. And he's already bought you, paid for you. But this morning, you're not serving him the way you need to be serving him. And he's coming in this room looking for somebody. I don't know why he had to pay back. That's insane. But can I tell you something? He was willing to buy her back. And he paid the money for her. And he said, she's already mine. I've already got a covenant. And I'm coming after her. I'm pursuing her. Because God's put a love in me for her. And I'm buying her back. He paid the money. He got her back. And here's what he said. He said, baby, you ain't leaving anymore. And I'm going to treat you like you've never been gone. Woo! Renewed a covenant. If you're going over to that 11th chapter, you're going to find about the same thing God's speaking and calls Israel Ephraim and said, I search for Ephraim. Ephraim is just a term of love. I'm searching for my baby. I'm searching for my friend. Searching for my bud. I'm going after him right now. The one I'm willing to get goes after him and says, there's coming a day when Ephraim will come back to me. And he will be under the lineage of King David. King David's already dead and gone. So what's a King David? Jesus came out of the tribe and under the lineage of David. Y'all still tracking me? He's in this room right now. I want you to bow your heads and your hearts.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.